Our lesson today is having God. And our scripture lesson text that we have had read by our brother Adam this morning and taken a look at it. How many of us have an album that just has drums on it? How many of us got a CD? How many of us have some iTunes? All that stuff. How many of us have music that we listen to? Okay? Just drums. You just bought drums. Just want to hear the drums. Now, I'll tell you, my dad brought an album back home called Tijuana Brass, and it's guys just beating on steel drums, but they're all made to where it was different tones. But I just mentioned that. When Brother Adam read this passage this morning, I had become as a sounding brass or just a clanging cymbal. Nobody wants to just listen to the drums, folks. They want to hear the lyrics and the song and the guitar and the piano and all those things when you listen to music outside of our worship, obviously. It has nothing to do with that. But I can do all the things in the world, but I don't do them with love. It profits me nothing. And the title of our lesson this morning, oh, wouldn't it be nice to have God hug us this morning? Well, he's just waiting for you to walk into his arms. What are you waiting for? Having God in your life. I can do all these wonderful things, and I don't have God. I don't have love, because God is love, and that's what we're going to look at some passages. But that's the understanding for us to think about this morning. About having God in your life. I don't know about you, but I want God in my life. I need God in my life. Sometimes we need other things, and I'll just give you, for example, this morning you see my demeanor's a little different, and my emotions might be a little different. I woke up this morning again, had vertigo, and couldn't get out of bed. Well, 3 years ago I had vertigo, and I put the pills in my pickup truck, so if I got vertigo at work, I'd have them. So my wife went down and got my three-year-old pills out of my pickup truck this morning, and I took one and laid there for a while in bed and made sure it got going and tried to do the maneuvers that you're supposed to do to get the crystals back in your ear, those of you that know what I'm talking about. So that's how I'm operating this morning a little bit. But I still have God. I still want God. When I say having God, that doesn't mean splitting them in half. I'll mention a brother that was my best man at my wedding, Brother Marcel Vanderspay. When they came out with the license plates and said, God is my co-pilot, boy, he mentioned that in some of his lessons. He did not like that. He said, God is my pilot, not my co-pilot. You got to give it all over to him. And in order to have God in your life, you got to be able to do things from love, as we're mentioning. But not have love, it profits me nothing. My potential future daughter-in-law told me something last night. That doesn't sound like Jesus. It doesn't sound like saying something out of love. And she was right. She was right. We got to open our hearts to always having God and having love work in our hearts. 1 John 4:7, it says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The next verse, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in him and God in him. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Walking by faith. Once again, folks. Having God is having love in our hearts. Not the love, obviously, that the world thinks, right? but the love that is portrayed in God's holy word. Because love, let's just say my grandsons, I love my grandsons, but I'm never going to tell them no. And every time they want money, I'm going to open my wallet. They don't even understand that concept yet. Maybe someday they will. Every time they want cookies, every time they want mints, got your attention now, don't I, Easton? Every time they want something sweet, or they don't want something sweet, maybe they just want pretzels. It's almost dinner time. And I love them so much, I just keep giving them and giving them and giving them and giving them. Well, you're spoiling them. Well, that's not what really love is. But that's what we grasp as God being. Just giving and giving and giving and giving without no responsibility, without caring, just an action or an emotion. And that's not what love of God is. Love of God is caring for the purpose of glorifying God, to be like Him. So in me loving my grandchildren, the more I can be like God, the more I can be like Jesus, the more I'm really showing love to them. Same way with each other. Romans 14, it is written, receive one and apply this and think about this passage, brothers and sisters and friends, about having God. About having the love of God in your heart. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats. For God has received him. Who are you to judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat, to the Lord does not eat and gives thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. I ask us, and considering having God in your heart, and not being a clanging cymbal, and not doing things without love, having God and having love in your heart, folks, can you really have disputes when you're being loving? You know, it's easy to say, well, you know what, those people that are on the other side of the aisle, politically, I can dispute with them and argue with them because they don't know my side and they don't understand that, and the other side says the same thing about the other side. That's easy to recognize that. But what about disputes within our households and our families? How many times do we always agree on how we're going to spend money? How many times do we always agree on how to discipline children? How many times... This is some marriage counseling, by the way, just so you guys know, I'm just jesting a little bit. But folks, we continually work on those things in our lives. Disputes, despising one another, judging one another. These things ought not to be if you have God in your heart. Or if we start to that tendency, we recognize that and say no to Satan. Now, obviously, you're going to have to stand your ground when it comes to your faith. But I'm talking about just being a disputeful person. Rising or making yourself better than someone else just because of what they eat or what they don't eat or where their faith is. A lot of this is talking about where somebody's faith is at and recognizing. Well, they shouldn't be doing that. Or don't they know that any better than that? We've heard that before. Folks, you see somebody doing something that you think is being judgmental or disputeful, first thing we should do for them is pray for their heart. God has the power to change people's hearts. Recognize that they're just short on love that day. They're having a hard time having God be their pilot. And that's sometimes when we have bad days, God's our co-pilot. We only want Him when we need Him. Instead of having Him as our pilot. And let each be fully convinced in his own mind. Folks, walk by faith. Walk by faith. We talked about it in Bible class this morning. God tells me I got to love my enemy. That's a tough thing to do. God tells me I got to forgive everybody for everything they said, done, and will say or do to me. Bob, I'm not done forgiving you. And you're not done forgiving me. That's the way it works. And believing out of love and faith in God and having God in your heart that that's the right thing to do. That's how to behave. That's following Jesus. That's walking by faith. Because it mentions here, everybody gives thanks to God. I think I'm doing the right thing. To remember, we are God's creatures, God's creation. I'll use this example, but you know what? It talks about, why do you judge another man's servant? How many of us in our hearts and our minds, folks, have looked at somebody else's spouse and said, that'd never fly in my house? And that might even be, it'd be from the husband or the wife standpoint. The Bible says don't do that. Don't despise somebody else. That's their business. That's their relationship. I got enough business walking by faith in my life. You know what? We would all be even emotional more wrecks than what we think we are if we really knew all the struggles that each and every one of us have in our families and in our lives and our relationships. God knows all that and still says, follow me, I love you, I forgive you, don't give up. And then yet some of us want to know what are you struggling with? What's your problem? What are you doing? Want to know everybody else's business. Well, it's talked about as busybodies in the God's Word, in the Bible, folks. If you're not doing it out of love because you just want to pray for them and you want to help their spiritual well-being or their situation, and you're reaching out of love, having God in your heart, you need to stop that. Continuing on in Romans 14, it is written, so then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean in itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which we may edify one another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for a man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat or drink meat, or drink wine, or do anything by which your brother stumbles, or is offended, or is made weak. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not of faith is sin. Now, obviously, folks, you can see what I have highlighted in this passage. And to me, it's a powerful passage because we all struggle with that. Don't judge your brother. Don't judge your servants. Don't judge your people you know. Don't judge somebody else's family. You are no longer walking in love when you do those things. You put yourself in the place of God when you do that. That's Jesus' place. That's God our Father's place. There's nothing wrong with knowing your place. It feels good sometimes. Rather, resolve this. Resolve what? You have to do something, and that's make a choice not to stumble, put a stumbling block in front of a brother or sister in Christ. And this is talking about meats according to what happened and how it sacrificed idols and all those things. But what do we put stumbling blocks in front of each other today about, folks? What we eat, what we drink, anything. Anything by which your brother stumbles. Do you love that more than you love God? Are you really having God in your heart? Do you really have the love of God in your heart? Or is he just a co-pilot? He's just there for some feel good. He's just there to help you when you need him. I've been a Christian over 30 years. And I still struggle with righteousness and peace and joy. Satan tempts me. Satan tempts me that I'm no longer walking in love, folks. I don't know about you. Maybe you guys, maybe you're on easy street and everything just works out fine. Life's not that way. When Jesus walked this earth, that's one of the greatest things he did, is he walked in love. His sole mission was obeying the Father and showing us what true love was. God showed us his love by giving the Ten Commandments and by fulfilling his promises. And the leadership could not present God in the flesh. Had a hard time understanding what love was. So he sent his son. I'm going to come down here to show you how to love one another and treat one another. To resolve this, do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. Folks, whatever in your life, Satan's going to use what's important to you. Whatever it is. Don't let that destroy someone else's faith. Don't let that turn God into your co-pilot instead of your pilot. Ephesians 2 and 4, it is written, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us." His great love. James 1:12, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Folks, we're daily questioned whether we love God or not, whether we have God or not. Part of life. Our decisions that we make. The words that we say, or we don't say. I struggle with both things in my life. Saying things that I shouldn't say and saying things that I wish I hadn't said. And I think that's common to man. But I want to prove that I love him and I'm walking by faith. So I'll continue each day anew, examining myself as we talk, gather around the table, whether we are of the faith or not. 1 John 2:5, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. Satan wants us to question our faith. We struggle, we have strong points, weak points. Sometimes we don't love as we ought. Sometimes we feel like we don't have God. Satan wants us to feel that all the time, so we start walking on our own and not by faith. God's word shares with us, we know we're in him when I got to make decisions. When I'm saying, Satan, get behind me. When I recognize, I shouldn't have said that. Jesus wouldn't have said that. It's helped me be a better husband, a better employee, a better citizen, a better parent, maybe a better son-in-law. I hope so. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Folks, if you can't look around this room and say, I love you guys, you need a heart check. You need a faith check. You need to be praying and down on your knees. Because the religion that you're following and walking by is not that of Jesus, the Son of God. John 5:3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Guess what? That's so hard. False. That's false. Because it says right here, his commandments are not burdensome. And if we're walking by faith, we will recognize that. Now let me ask you all this. Most of us in here, other than the little ones, okay, and I don't think we got any, you know. Let me just ask you this. Obeying his commandments, some of us have been experienced through this through our relationships and families and such. But is it more burdensome to have 3 or 4 wives or 3 or 4 husbands or just one? I use this as an example. His commandments are not burdensome. You have a lot less burden and a lot less grief and a lot less sorrow and a lot less everything if you're married to one person. And obviously to one person your whole life. Now some of us have been married and divorced and remarried and stuff, and that's, you know, life happens. Sometimes it happens outside of our faith. Once we decide to walk by faith, to recognize his commandments are not burdensome. The grass is not greener on the other side of the fence. Satan's over there spraying it, giving it fertilizer, letting the sun shine on it, raining on your side of the fence. He wants you to hop that side of the fence. Amen. Don't do it. Walk by faith. Remember this passage. And his commandments are not burdensome. I got to remind myself that. Folks, I got to remind myself of the Word of God. That's the Word of God and the Holy Spirit working in our lives. When we read something and it's applicable to our hearts, we have God. We're having God. We have love in our hearts. We We have peace, joy, and righteousness. We have confidence that we're walking by faith. We're being hugged by God. I don't know about you, man. I saw this picture looking things up. And I want God's arms wrapped around me every day of my life. I've been blessed beyond measure. Some circles people look up to me. Some circles people look down to me. I measure my life whether I'm in God's arms or not. Whether I have God. That's my success in life. I think that should be our success in life. Our confidence on a daily basis if we have God. It is written in 1 Corinthians 16, 13 and 14, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love, having God. Brothers and sisters in Christ and friends, the lesson is yours this morning. Do you have God? Are you abiding in His love? Are you walking by faith? Is He your pilot or your co-pilot? We remind ourselves every first day of the week, you can make a decision to follow Him or not. And we offer that invitation to either become a child of God through having your sins washed away in the waters of baptism, or making things right with your heart if you've already had that done to you. As we stand and sing the selected song this morning.